Welcome to the Book of Mormon podcast. My name's Kyle, and I'm just a guy who really enjoys reading the Book of Mormon. As we journey through the text together, I'll do my best to help you stay on top of all the characters and storylines that are going on. But if you have any doctrinal or historical questions, you can get those answered in real time by reaching out on mormon.org/chat. Jacob chapter 7 is the last chapter of the short book of Jacob, and it's really the only story chapter Jacob gives us. Here he's going to stop preaching for a bit and tell us a little bit about an experience he had. So let's hop right into verse 1. And now it came to pass, after some years had passed away, there came a man among the people of Nephi whose name was Sherem. And it came to pass that he began to preach among the people, and to declare unto them that there should be no Christ. And he preached many things which were flattering unto the people, and this he did that he might overthrow the doctrine of Christ. And he labored diligently that he might lead away the hearts of the people, insomuch that he did lead away many hearts. And he, knowing that I, Jacob, had faith in Christ who should come, he sought much opportunity that he might come unto me. And he was learned that he had a perfect knowledge of the language of the people, wherefore he could use much flattery and much power of speech according to the power of the devil. And he had hope to shake me from the faith, notwithstanding the many revelations and the many things which I had seen concerning these things. For I truly had seen angels, and they had ministered unto me. And also I had heard the voice of the Lord speaking unto me in very word from time to time, wherefore I could not be shaken. So we have this face-off here. Sherem is a very talented speaker, a very well-educated man, who is preaching that Christ isn't real. And Jacob, of course, as we've seen throughout this book, and also in 2 Nephi, believes very heartily in the reality of the Savior. And so they're going to meet and talk. Verse 6, and it came to pass that he came unto me, and on this wise did he speak unto me, saying, Brother Jacob, I have sought much opportunity that I might speak unto you, for I have heard and also know that thou goest about much, preaching that which ye call the gospel, or the doctrine of Christ. And ye have led away much of this people, that they pervert the right way of God, and keep not the law of Moses, which is the right way, and convert the law of Moses into the worship of a being, which ye say shall come many hundred years hence. And now behold, I, Sherem, declare unto you that this is blasphemy, for no man knoweth of such things, for he cannot tell of things to come. And after this manner did Sherem contend against me. So apparently Sherem's beef with the doctrine of Christ is that it requires you to believe that prophets can prophesy concerning the future, and he doesn't believe anybody can know anything about what's going to happen. Verse 8, but behold, the Lord God poured in his spirit unto my soul, insomuch that I did confound him in all his words. And I said unto him, deniest thou the Christ who shall come? And he said, if there should be a Christ, I would not deny him. But I know there is no Christ, neither has been nor ever will be. Strong words from a person who doesn't believe anyone can know anything about the future. Verse 10, and I said unto him, believest thou the scriptures? And he said, yea. And I said unto him, then ye do not understand them, for they truly testify of Christ. Behold, I say unto you that none of the prophets have written, nor prophesied, save they have spoken concerning this Christ. And this is not all. It has been made manifest unto me, for I have heard and seen. And it also has been made manifest unto me by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore, I know if there should be no atonement made, all mankind must be lost. And it came to pass that he said unto me, show unto me a sign by this power of the Holy Ghost, in the which ye know so much. And I said unto him, what am I that I should tempt God to show unto thee a sign in the thing which thou knowest to be true? Yet thou wilt deny it, because thou art of the devil. Nevertheless, not my will be done. But if God shall smite thee, let that be a sign unto thee that he has power both in heaven and in earth, and also that Christ shall come. And thy will, O Lord, be done, and not mine. And it came to pass that when I, Jacob, had spoken these words, the power of the Lord came upon him, insomuch that he fell to the earth. And it came to pass that he was nourished for the space of many days. So Sherem, classic mistake here, asks for a sign from a prophet, and the sign he gets is that he is smitten in some way, pretty severely, as we'll see in just a minute. Verse 16, and it came to pass that he said unto the people, gather together on the morrow, for I shall die. Wherefore I desire to speak unto the people before I shall die. And it came to pass that on the morrow the multitude were gathered together, and he spake plainly unto them, and denied the things which he had taught them, and confessed the Christ, and the power of the Holy Ghost, and the ministering of angels. And he spake plainly unto them that he had been deceived by the power of the devil,
And he spake of hell and of eternity and of eternal punishment. And he said, I fear lest I have committed the unpardonable sin, for I have lied unto God. For I denied the Christ and said that I believed the Scriptures, and they truly testify of him. And because I have thus lied unto God, I greatly fear lest my case shall be awful, but I confess unto God. And it came to pass that when he had said these words, he could say no more, and he gave up the ghost. Whew! Don't ask for a sign. That's the message there, I think. Verse 21. And when the multitude had witnessed that he spake these things as he was about to give up the ghost, they were astonished exceedingly, insomuch that the power of God came down upon them, and they were overcome that they fell to the earth. So the people who see this are so surprised they basically faint or pass out or something. This is interesting. Throughout the Book of Mormon, in a few key instances, we will see this happening, where people are so astonished by the power of God, or they feel it so strongly that they just keel over and need to take a nap or something for maybe a few hours, sometimes several days. They're just out, which is interesting. I don't know an analog of that in the modern world, but I think just sort of culturally we experience the physical manifestations of the Spirit in different ways. I don't know. Verse 22. Now this thing was pleasing unto me, Jacob, for I had requested it of my Father who was in heaven, for he had heard my cry and answered my prayer. And it came to pass that peace and the love of God was restored again among the people. And they searched the Scriptures and hearkened no more unto the words of this wicked man. And it came to pass that many means were devised to reclaim and restore the Lamanites to the knowledge of the truth. But it was all vain, for they delighted in wars and bloodshed, and they had an eternal hatred against us, their brethren, and they sought by the power of their arms to destroy us continually. Now remember, long, long ago, the whole Book of Mormon story starts when a man named Lehi takes his family out of Jerusalem, crosses an ocean, and comes to somewhere in the Americas. His oldest son, Laman, is not a believer in God or the gospel or any of these things. And another son, Nephi, is. And so they separate, and we get these two nations. Jacob is part of the Nephite nation, the followers of Nephi, the believers in Christ, as a general rule. Sherem, apparently, an exception in some of his followers. And the Lamanites are the other people. And it sounds like they have really devolved pretty quickly, the delighting in wars and bloodshed. That's not an ideal civilization. Verse 25. Wherefore the people of Nephi did fortify against them with their arms and with all their might, trusting in the God and rock of their salvation. Wherefore they became as yet conquerors of their enemies. And it came to pass that I, Jacob, began to be old, and the record of this people being kept on the other plates of Nephi, wherefore I conclude this record, declaring that I have written according to the best of my knowledge, by saying that the time passed away with us, and also our lives passed away, like as it were unto a dream, we being a lonesome and a solemn people, wanderers, cast out from Jerusalem, born in tribulation in a wilderness, and hated of our brethren, which caused wars and contentions. Wherefore we did mourn out our days. Kind of gloomy, Jacob, but understandable, I suppose. Verse 27. And I, Jacob, saw that I must soon go down to my grave. Wherefore I said unto my son Enos, take these plates. And I told him the things which my brother Nephi had commanded me, and he promised obedience unto the commands. And I make an end of my writing upon these plates, which writing has been small. And to the reader I bid farewell, hoping that many of my brethren may read my words. Brethren, adieu. And that's the end of the fairly short book of Jacob. Next time, we will start a series of even shorter books, beginning with Enos.